If you're married and you're being honest, and I have to do the same, I think we all at times want our spouse to change. We want something different in terms of how they're going to behave or what they say or their attitude. And sometimes it comes and goes, and sometimes it can be a pervasive problem in the relationship. So the question today here at Intentional Living is, what do you do when your spouse won't change? You've talked about it, prayed about it, maybe argued about it, but they don't change. What do you do? Hey, Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. We have all of our calls lined up for this hour. This is from our archives, the best of, so you're going to really enjoy the calls that are already recorded. However, I do invite you live today to share your comments to what you hear on our story comment line when you call 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. This is such a very important topic, as it has to do with our marriage and how we come into marriage with certain expectations when they're not met, when our spouse doesn't measure up, or what we saw before we got married is different than after we got married. It can be a real problem. At the same time, our goal here at Intentional Living is to help you find avenues of success in connecting with each other and loving each other for God's glory and for your benefit. So I hope you'll stay with us today. If your spouse is unwilling or doesn't seem to know that they need to change, what do you do?
Dr. Randy, my name is Tammy. The reason I'm calling in this morning is I just listened to your show and about the lady who had been married for 2 years and that and trying to change her husband. Well, I've been married 24 years this year, and for years I've tried to change my husband and it does not work. I've tried to make him into a spiritual leader, but you can't change your husband. You have to change yourself and pray for your husband and pray for yourself and pray for your relationship. And it's taken me 22 years to learn that lesson. You need to pray for your husband, not try to change him. And nagging definitely does not work. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll echo that one. Nagging doesn't work. I think our society is against us when it comes to trying to make a marriage work. You turn on, you know, TV, or you see the movies or whatever, and a lot of things that are very idealistic and not reality, certainly not biblical, not designed to reinforce a biblical standard for relationships and what God intends. So I think there's a great deal of confusion. And then, of course, the culture that we live in today doesn't support the values, most of the values that we have as Christians in our marriages and families today. And so we don't have that support structure, so it makes it even more difficult. And so when things aren't as you'd like them to be, and you look at your spouse, you don't like what he or she is doing or how they behave or what have you, and you don't have a support structure sometimes to know how to respond to that. So today we just want to give you some things that'll help you very intentionally. You know, nothing today that's over the top profound. We're just sharing things with you that are truths in terms of what, as Christians, how we're to respond when we have challenges and we know we can't change another person. So let's go. Let's get at it. Marcia's in Kansas today with a question. Hi there, Marcia.
Hello.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Well, my question is, what if your husband says he doesn't need to change? We haven't been married very long, and at the beginning, you know, I had some jealousy issues because he has a female that to this day he still calls her his best friend, and you know, like I said, I was jealous, and now I've kind of like, you know, just let that go and try not to ask him questions about her, you know, like when they work out together and, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And
How long you been married?
5 years.
And you knew about this friendship before you got married?
Yes. And in fact, you know, like when we went through our minister before we got married, you know, we went through our sessions and, you know, it was mentioned to him that he should, you know, probably not work that closely with a female, you know, the opposite sex. And he said, yeah, you know, I need to, you know, quit. But then in the last couple of years, he's you know, said, well, she was my friend before you, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and you're just going to need to accept that. And,
well, Marcia,
you know, there's nothing there.
Yeah, Marcia, listen, we have a whole thing on our website. What do we call that, Steve? Is it 10 reasons? No, the opposite sex friendships? We're going to find out how to find it, and then we'll get those to you. We'll tell you how to get to those. Because this is a big deal. I write about it in my book, Starved for Affection. I've talked about it on the air. People have told me that I'm out of touch with reality. But I think whenever you have the closeness of opposite sex friendships that cross over some of these borders, it creates a problem. And it creates a problem for you. There may be nothing there, maybe totally innocent. There may be nothing that's, quote, inappropriate with that relationship. But whenever we don't keep our marriage as the primary focus and making sure that our spouse, that we're taking care of their needs and providing the kind of security and encouragement that they need, it creates a problem. He pays for it and you pay for it. You both pay for it. And so today when you talk about not change, you can't change him. You can't change him. The key for you, Marcia, is just be very clear with your husband how you feel, that it bothers you, that you're troubled, the fact that he's not respecting your wishes in this regard, and he is paying for it. I mean, he pays for it because of you being upset. Unfortunately, the two of you are not on the same page with this, but we don't play games. I don't think getting angry, I don't think nagging, I don't think leaving, I don't think manipulating or throwing a hissy fit is the answer. But I do think when you're going to your spouse and saying, honey, I need to tell you exactly why this is a problem to me. And if you love me, you got to understand this is a problem to me. I'm not indicting you that you've done anything wrong, but I want you to know why this is a problem to me. And if you love me, I think it's important for you to understand why this is an issue. Love is truly a demonstrated behavior. It's not just a feeling. I love someone, I will behave in different ways to show them that I love them. You can't change him. I mean, that's the question today. So what do? I think you love him back. You pray for him. You have clear standards and boundaries that we need to maintain. It's one of those dangerous areas in relationship. It really is dangerous. All right. Let me continue on here. Let me go to Betsy's in New Mexico. Betsy, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your question today?
Okay, well, I've been dating my boyfriend for 10 months. He's Christian. He knows the word. He recites quite a bit of it to me when we're not seeing each other. But when we visit together and we're in the same spot or visiting together, all of a sudden that goes out the window and he starts telling me that I need to change. And I'm like, wow, what do I do now?
Well, I will tell you this, Betsy, the best predictor of future behavior in life is past behavior, and if you get married, it's not going to change.
Well, we both have come from two, twice divorced. I've got four children from my two past divorces, and he's got two children from one of his divorces that he was in. He's telling me that I need to let go of my friends and let go of my mother and my children. And I tell him, like,
Betsy,
you know, how does a mother do that?
Betsy, two divorces, each of you. He's quoting scripture to you, telling you you need to change. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I pray a lot. I cry a lot. I feel like I'm in limbo.
And you're scheduled to get married, or you're just dating?
We're just dating.
Uh-huh.
He lives in Colorado, and I live in New Mexico. We travel to see each other twice a month.
Well, Betsy, I'm sorry.
When we're on the phone, you know, he's the greatest guy, speaks the word and everything, but the minute we see each other, all of a sudden I'm the target.
Well, Betsy,
I need to change. And wow, what do I need to do?
Well, you got women all over America yelling at their radios what to do. Run. See, the best predictor of future behavior, this is a truth, is always the past behavior. And things don't tend to get better after we get married. Whatever is there tends to just continue or deteriorate. Usually the very best we look is on the day we get married. Then who we are really starts to come out. So let me be practical with you, Betsy. You can't change him, and you say you love him, and he says he loves you, but the two of you have got to do some work before you get into marriage. Two failed marriages here. Got all sorts of relational and biblical issues you got to deal with to understand. I would get with a counselor, your pastor, pastor's wife, a Christian counselor, and lay this out and do your homework, really pray and work it through with someone to help you think this through very clearly. But if you take nothing else from my call today, remember, the best predictor of future behavior is current and past behavior. And we can hope and wish and even pray, but that doesn't mean the future is going to change because other people also have their own input on that future, okay? So for the two of you, counseling would be a great thing to do.
Hi, I've been married 38 years, and for 20 years of my marriage, my husband and I were on separate pages as far as our relationship with God. He really was not a believer, and I prayed every day that he would become a believer. After 20 years, we had a really rough time. We did separate for a year, and during that time, God worked in him and changed his heart. We got back together after a year, and he has been in Christ. We read Bible every morning. We pray together, and I thank God. It took 20 years, but God changed him. I know my prayers, God was listening. But God is the one who changed them. And now it is a great marriage, and I thank God for it. And we're good Christian lives right now. And I thank you for your program. I think it does a lot of good. And tell people that never lose hope, that God does listen, and in his time, he will change their heart.
That's good. Thank you. I just want to say one word before the next call here. Betsy, following up with Betsy, that her boyfriend is saying that you need to change. Now, when someone says to you, you need to change, I know the first reaction we have is to put up a wall, right? Anytime you say you anything, the wall goes up. Now, if we can get mature enough to say, tell me what I need to change so I can understand what is it about me that maybe I can learn, that's different than just nitpicking, flaw picking on another person. But in a loving relationship, there are times to be able to talk about things that need to change in a relationship. That's appropriate. That's okay. That's healthy. We should never close the door on growth. But overt criticism, yes, that has to be, that door needs to be closed. All right. Melanie is in Texas with a comment today. Melanie, go right ahead.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Andy.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that about 15 or 20 years ago, my husband and I started having some major problems, and we were trying to change each other big time, and one day he came home, and he looked at me, and he said, I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce. And that was like, I mean, I went into, like, major anger and just started breaking everything in the house. And, wow. I mean, I was throwing things at him. I was mad. And then I went in that night and I laid down and I was looking over at my shelf. And there was a book I had bought about 5 years prior called Your Husband, Your Friend. And I thought to myself, at that time, I thought, why am I reading this? I don't need this. But God knew I needed it. He knew I was going to need it. And so as I started reading, I started realizing how much I had taken control over my husband and how every control thing that I did just tore him down and took away who he was as a man and as a person. And basically, he was to the point that he just didn't even feel like he even needed to exist because he was worth nothing. And I started making changes and started trying to work toward that, you know, making him feel better about himself and building him up. and trying to build back up the man I had basically torn down. And it took a while. It took about 3 months before he finally said, okay, maybe she's serious. And then he started making changes. And as we made those changes together, me concentrating on me and him concentrating on him, our life came back together.
Wow.
And we've now been married 33 years.
Good for you. What a story.
I mean, it, you know, we have our ups and downs, and I still get into my control issues at times. But, you know, one of the things that book taught me is that we all open a love account for each other when we meet each other, even friends. But as a husband and wife, we can either make lots of deposits into that love account, or we can make a lot of withdrawals.
Right.
And if you make too many withdrawals, sooner or later that account gets closed.
Mm.
So my husband and I just started looking at each other, and he would say, did I just make a withdrawal? And I go, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a point where, Melanie, using that analogy, that you do enough withdrawals, you overspend that account, there is a point where there's bankruptcy, and bankruptcy is a painful, painful thing. The good news is you can come back from it, and you did. Bankrupt, but you came back. And I think what Paul says is a great reminder, Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And the way you think then impacts the way you behave, and the way you behave impacts the way you feel. And as you said, your husband came around as you came around. We do impact each other. Melanie, thanks for your call. Well, we have a great time on the cruise, and we're looking forward to it. And I understand your wife's going to be with you.
Oh, man, my wife and my kids are coming. And, man, it really is going to be a wonderful family time. And I always tell people, man, you need to meet my wife instead. She's way cooler than I am. She is the grace of God in my life with good shoes on, you know, with cool shoes on, you know. She's awesome. I can't wait for people to meet her, for us just to get to spend time together with them. There's the time that's on the platform, but I think the part I enjoy more is really kind of getting to just kind of do life together.
You know, I think that is really the key to this cruise that we have coming up in just weeks now, June 12th through 19th. I tell you, my wife Donna and I, our ministry president Evan Carlson, his wife Kelly, and as you just heard, Big Daddy Weave, Mike Weaver, you hear him on the radio with his music and his band. Well, he's going to be there with his wife and his children, and he's going to be leading us in worship. And I think you're going to really get to know him and his family, as we want to get to know you as well. One of the cool things about this cruise that I'm really looking forward to is that when we're at sea and we have a private room for just our group, because the size of the group is such that we're going to be able to interact and share and learn and talk and worship God together, it is going to be just a really neat experience. And if you've been waiting to look for an opportunity for a vacation or doing something with your family, with your spouse, or with some friends, this is it. June 12 through 19, cruise to Alaska and back with Intentional Living. Well, I'm going to be talking about our lives, about intentional living, talking about what the Scripture teaches as we look to the future in our lives, just a lot of encouragement and music and worship. So if you don't have your cabin, hey, get it today. Get it today. Go to theintentionallife.com. Again, availability of cabins at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
All right, welcome back to Intentional Living here. As the time's passing, Pam's on the line, wants to join us from Michigan, responding to my first caller, Betsy. Pam, welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Randy. I listened to Betsy explain her situation dating for 10 months. And when she said that she just didn't know what to do, I answered right out loud to the radio for an answer for her is run, puppy, run.
Why'd you say that?
That's the advice that I wish I would have gotten. when I got married the second time. I was married for 15 years and went through a divorce that was very, very difficult. And I never thought I would be in that position.
Well, what were you telling yourself at the time, Pam? What were you telling yourself when others were telling you run?
No, I didn't have anybody telling me run.
Oh.
You know.
Why? Just didn't have people that could see the dynamics, or everybody was just happy for you?
Well, when I went through the first divorce, I had a lot of losses and disappointments that then I could go into a whole story, but basically kind of lost my support system.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I was dating the second guy, he was part of a little church in a nearby town, and his family very involved, and of course they all, you know, just accepted me, wrapped their arms around me, and said
that felt good too, didn't it?
Happiness to come. And he had told me that I was exactly what he was looking for, a Christian woman to help him grow in the Lord. So it was like he was inviting change.
Yeah.
But
of course, that puts you in a role then to say it's your responsibility to help me grow, as opposed to stepping in and being in a position where he's in growth and leadership and so on. Did you get counseling together?
Well, we met with his pastor, and his pastor said, well, you're having trouble with staying apart, so let's set a date for the wedding.
So in other words...
And I was like, but I'm supposed to start nursing clinicals, and I just kind of felt like I got railroaded. He was an older pastor, and the answer was just get married. And I'll tell you, you don't get married on a Saturday and start clinicals on Monday. that's ludicrous.
Well, Pam, let me just add, for people listening, when we say things like stop, get counseling, run, back off, it's not because we're not pro-relationship that honors Christ. We are pro-relationship that honors Christ, so much so that we're willing to say there are times, like you hear Pam saying, you just got to stop, back off, get counseling, take your time, don't rush, don't, you know. What I've learned over the years, when things don't make sense, they don't make sense. When things don't feel right, usually something's wrong. When someone you love is giving you a perspective which is different than your own, stop and listen. You can't change another person, but boy, you can change yourself, and I think that's the ultimate message today. All right, Pam, thank you. Sorry I had to run, but we're out of time. Thanks for your call.
Randy, I'm calling from Central Alabama. I've listened to your program off and on over the last several years as I've traveled, and you have offered a lot to the listeners and the participants in your program, and I want to thank you. I want to tell you that when I first heard your initial broadcast for the first time a couple of years ago, new to me, I was highly skeptical, because I'm always skeptical of people who offer advice and guidance, because there's so much bad advice, unbiblical and non-biblical guidance offered these days. But I've grown to have a sincere and a deep appreciation and gratitude for your balanced view and balanced attitude and balanced approach toward offering compassion and guidance and biblically solid advice to the people who call in. I wish I could support you financially, but we've gone through a year ourselves of being unemployed and trying to get a business started, and I'm back working on a contract basis. So I just want you to know that people are grateful, very grateful for you, and I want you to be encouraged to continue to keep your focus biblically. So I just want to thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, one of the things in my life that I'm always concerned about is making sure to be cautious, to make sure that what I say is not going to get us off of center where the scripture is. Because I have my own personal opinion. I try to share those from time to time, but throttle that as much as I can and bring us back to some what I call biblical normalcy here. And today is one of these calls, one of these topics, rather, where a lot of people are confused. And we started with the idea, if I can't change my spouse, the idea was to turn inward to ourselves. And a lot of the discussion still went outward about those around us. And I think I want to close the program by reminding us what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? I think when we start with ourselves and our relationship with Christ, get confident in our relationship with Christ, set godly goals to grow in confidence, that's when we start to see a change. Entropy is something that really began in the Garden of Eden. Remember the lesson I did on Humpty Dumpty? All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Genesis chapter 3 put it this way in the Message. You start out as dirt, you'll end up as dirt. That's a word picture, right? That's this process of entropy that occurs in all of our lives. We feel it physically, and we can see it occurring in the world around us. You know, the law of thermodynamics teaches this thing of entropy, which basically talks about things moving from order in life to chaos, from order to disorder. Which is interesting. This is a whole nother message, but as you think about evolution, evolutionists teach that things moved from disorder to order. And yet the law of thermodynamics here teaches that things are the exact opposite, that they move from order to disorder in life. But this lesson this month is really about your life. It's about the fact that intentional living, figuring out what pleases Christ, doing the next right one thing, and all of the things that I teach in the lesson this month remind us that intentional living in Christ can save your life. I believe that. You've heard me say it's a little hyperbolic, perhaps sounding, but it really isn't. In reality, it can be a life changer. And you know, here in this month of April, we started out the month with so many of you joining us in support. Thank you for all of our new family of monthly supporters. You're going to be receiving this teaching, by the way, automatically with your email, both video and audio. And if you have any glitch in that, let us know, because we want to make sure you receive it. But also, we've been making available to all new members who are joining us in monthly support. And $1 a day is a great target, but whatever God lays on your heart, $15 a month or more to help the ministry. We want to send you the Intentional Word Chronological Bible, all 66 books of the Bible in chronological order. It is a fantastic, life-changing resource for your life. God's Word is really the manual for living an intentional life in Christ. And we'll get it to you. Join us. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Got to run. Thank you for joining us and being a part of Intentional Living today. Have a great day.